Margie, and I say, oh, you were brought to tears too. And she goes, yeah, I was yawning. You know, and it was like, wait a minute. There's a different lens of how we see things. And some of us feel like we're experts in so many different areas. And so it gives us a lens to see things a little different. We are in the book of Philippians. And so I'll go ahead and open up your Bibles to the book of Philippians. And we're in chapter 3 today. And again, I encourage you to go ahead and pull it up on your phone, on your iPad. If you need a Bible, we have some Bibles in the chairs over there. I want you to see what Paul is saying here. He starts off in chapter 3 with this. He says, finally, my brothers. Finally, my brothers. So you think he's coming to an end, but he's got a whole nother chapter. But he says this, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. And then he says this, to write the same things to you is no trouble for me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh, for we are of the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and the glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Let me break this down for you. He says this, finally, rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to write some things to you. It's no trouble for me, even though I'm in prison, and it's going to be safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Who are the dogs? Well, here's what he says. They're the evildoers. They're the ones who mutilate the flesh. And he's talking about circumcision. And then he says this, for we are the circumcision. We are who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. In other words, what Paul is saying, a little history here. When Christ came and the church started in the book of Acts, it was mostly Jews. And they were following this Christ, and they were following his teachings, and they were following his disciples. But by the time you get to Acts chapter 10, what had happened was, these Gentiles started coming in. Now, to the Jews, if you were a Gentile or a Samaritan, you were a dog. The dogs of the other nations. They were known for saying that. They were a very insular people. They were discriminatory towards anybody that was outside of their group. And so now by chapter 10, you have these Gentiles, Samaritans all over the world, because on the day of Pentecost, 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Pentecost, but on the day of Pentecost, as the Spirit of God came in through every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every race, every person, they could understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so they were told and commanded, go into the world and preach it. And to make disciples. And so they went off on their business. Boom, 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 boom. So all of these people started coming into Christ. And there was a group of Jews called Judaizers. Now they were Christians. They were some of the first Christians. And they said, whoa, 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 wait a minute, Paul. What do you mean by baptizing all these people? What do you mean by bringing all these other people in? What do you mean by, they're going to have to follow all of our Jewish laws. They're going to have to be circumcised. Now, if you were a Greek and you heard this good news that there was a man that came and he lived and showed us the kingdom of God, and all you had to do was to believe in him because God sent him to die for us so that we would have everlasting life, and you got caught up into that and you said, amen, glory, hallelujah. Okay, by the way, you're going to have to get yourself cut. What? I didn't read the fine print. And so Paul is saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. He's turning it around. He was a Pharisee at one time. He says this, look out for the dogs. He's turning it back on the Judaizers, on those religious people that were saying like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, Jesus died for you, but there are some certain things you got to do. We do that in the church. I remember growing up, when I was growing up and we went to school, you know, we had the Bible in the school. We would read like Psalm 23. In fact, I think in sixth grade we had to memorize it to get like a snack or something. And I remember most of the people, I guess, in my school were Baptist, because you had the First Baptist Church and you had the Second Baptist Church, because some of the people got mad in the First Baptist Church and started their own church. And then you had the Third Baptist Church because some people got mad at this one because the youth director was here. But I was a Methodist church. And so we were like a little tiny minority. Every once in a while, you have one, like a Jewish person in your class. We didn't have like a lot of the other things that you have today. Like, you can be whatever you want now. But I remember as we came in that there were different philosophies or theologies. Even in the sixth grade, people would talk about the differences. Like, for example, my Baptist friends, like, "Hey, Paul, were you baptized?" Like, "Yeah, absolutely, I was baptized. I was baptized as a little baby in the Methodist church." You know, the guy took water and goes, psh, you know, and boom, I was baptized. Yeah. And then I went to confirmation classes. And in the confirmation classes, I really knew what it meant to be. And yeah, I was baptized. Like, "Oh, no, 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 no. Jesus came for you, but here's the thing. Now you got to go under." Got under what? "You got to go under the water." "Oh, like in swimming?" "No, no, no. He's got to hold you under till you start shaking. Then you know the Holy Spirit got you. And then you're really saved." And I'm like, "What?" See, it's Jesus plus something else. I grew up in a time, and I know some of you young people, you're going to think like, "What?" There was a time when some of my friends in their church, they couldn't even play cards. Couldn't play cards. That's of the devil. Cards. Like, "Old maid, go fish." Whatever, I don't know. Couldn't play cards. Okay, "Hey, we're having a school dance." "Can't go to dance. Jesus said you can't dance." Really? His first miracle was at a wedding where there was a party and there was wine and there was celebration. But we're more important than that. So what we're going to do, we're just going to say, "Yeah, well, Jesus did that, but we're not Jesus." So what we're going to do, we're going to accept Jesus, then we're not going to do anything. We're going to follow this rule and this rule and this rule and this rule and this rule. And that's what the Judaizers were doing, is Jesus was something else. What else? He says, here's what that means to be circumcision. We are the circumcision. We who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. In other words, our heart has been circumcised. We have been made new, and now we've been welcomed into the very family of God. There are no other rules. You don't have to jump through any hoops. You don't have to be examined by a certain board. Have you know, when I grew up, the only people that could be elders or the older people in the church, they were usually these old men that had big old long things. It's like, "Look at this. You've been in Sunday school every day for how many years? Look at that, man. You got all those things." It's like, "Yeah, you sit down over there." And I grew up in the Methodist church. I remember the first time someone said, "Amen," raise your hand like that. An usher came over and said, "Yeah, what do you need?" You know, it's like, I don't know. I'm sorry. We call him the Holy Spirit, not the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is kind of scary. Rules. Different perspectives. How do we see things? So Paul is saying, wait a minute, we are the circumcision. We have been circumcised. It's our heart. Our salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. Paul is warning to watch out for people who are trying to get you to finish in your own power what was started in the power of the Holy Spirit for your relationship with God and in our accomplishments. I love this next section. Listen to this, sections verses 4 through 6. He says this, "Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also." In other words, yeah, I have reason to brag. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, listen, I have more. So Paul's saying, like, you think you're it? Listen to me. I really am it. This is what he says. "I was circumcised on the eighth day." All right? That was the rule that the Jews had to follow. "I am of the people of Israel, God's chosen people, so already I'm better than you. Of the tribe of Benjamin." Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin was actually the only tribe that was raised in the promised land. Saul came from the tribe of Benjamin. And listen to this, "I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. I, as far as to the law, a Pharisee." I was the elite of the elite in my religion. "As to zeal," listen to this, "I persecuted the church. I went after the people that were going against what I was taught when I was growing up. And as to righteousness under the law," listen to what he says, "I was blameless." There were 613 laws that the Jews had to follow. And Paul is saying, "I am 613 for 613. I am batting 1,000. When it comes to the law, I'm there." Remember the rich young ruler that came up to Jesus and he said, what do I got to do to get eternal life? And Jesus says, here's what you need to do. Follow the law. He goes, I've done that since I was born. I'm 613 for 613. And then Jesus says, take all your money and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And the guy went, all right, I'm 612 for 613. But he went away. Paul says, I have this, listen to this, ritualism. He followed all the symbolic rituals of the Jewish faith. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I did what the church says I was supposed to do. We see a lot of isms today, relativism, which means the theology of the world that says, hey, what's important to me may not be important to you, so get over it. And what's important to you may not be important to me, so maybe I should get over it. We should just live and let live. The isms. Listen to this. Ritualism. He was circumcised. Nationalism. I am from the nation of Israel, God's chosen nation. Don't get any better than that. All right? Elitism. I am from the tribe of Benjamin, from the promised land. My brother Danny has been, I guess since a lot of people get not laid off, furloughed or are working at home or whatever, so he had a lot of time on his hand, and he started going into Ancestry.com, and he's like, Paul, did you know we've got dukes, and we've got counts, we've got all these famous people, and I'm thinking like, okay, our line got the Noah counts, I'm thinking because, this is where I'm at, but he goes, did you know that we are related to Miles Standish? Miles Standish is one of our ancestors, and that's a name from history. Was he one of the ones that came over on the Mayflower kind of thing? Okay, so here's the thing. I am connected with somebody that came over on the Mayflower. Woo-hoo! That's what Paul is saying here. Well, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. I'm not just a Jew. God shows a people. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. It's like, saying, I'm not only American. I came over on the Mayflower. I'm one of the first. Then he goes into religionism. And yes, that is a word, Donald. I looked it up. Religionism. I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. It's in my bloodline. My father was a Jew. My mother was a Jew. His father was a Jew. His mother and his line was a Jew. It's in our system. It's in our bloodline. I grew up in this. And there are people that say, I grew up in the church. I went to church every day. My parents took me to church. So what do I need to be saved from? Because I already got it all. No, you don't. Exclusivism. He says this. Hey, I was a Pharisee. I am the religious aristocracy. I've been set apart. Another thing he says, activism. I'm getting involved in the political stuff going on today because I persecuted the early church, and I was enthusiastic about it. I went after people. And then what? Perfectionism. I'm faultless. All 613 laws, I'm there. Here's the thing Paul is trying to get us to say. Is he bragging about who he is? No, because what he gets ready to say next is these accomplishments don't mean jack. Don't mean a thing. It doesn't produce faith in us. It doesn't build faith in us. It doesn't help our relationship with God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is not in our accomplishments. What Paul thought was important was not. And Jesus flipped things upside down for man. It's almost like we're taking a yardstick to measure how much we weigh. It doesn't work. We've got the wrong lens. We've got the wrong measuring instrument. If we hang on to our life, we're going to lose our life. If we lose our life and we gain life, that sounds weird. But that's the view that God is giving us. Let's look at verse 7. Verse 7 says this, but whatever gain I had, all of these things, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. It doesn't matter how many merit badges I earned. It didn't matter how much money I earned. It didn't matter what my status was. It didn't matter what my political affiliation was. It doesn't matter any of that stuff. It's all loss for the sake of Christ. Jim Elliot was a missionary, and there was a tribe down in South America, and he's most famous when he got off of the boat to go onto the land, they basically killed him. And he was known for saying that he is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Listen again, he is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. I'm in the book of Ecclesiastes now. In Ecclesiastes, the Hebrew word is hevel. Hevel, hevel, hevel. It's vanity, vanity, vanity. And it means that you're grasping, you're trying to grab smoke. Or you're trying to grab a mist. You know, there's smoke, and can you grab it? No, it's just gone. It's hevel, 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 hevel. You can reach out and say, like, okay, I'm going to sacrifice everything I have to become the highest level in my job. And guess what we found out during this pandemic? Some of you don't even have a job. It's nothing. You've lost everything. Some people say, you know, my family, you know, I'm going to sacrifice everything for my family, so I'm not going to get involved in anything. I'm just going to hang on my family. What do you do when your child looks at you and says, I don't even love you? Or when you look at your spouse and you say, you know, we've been like this and I'm leaving. You put your faith in people and people will let you down. Wealth will let you down. It's hevel, hevel, hevel. We're grasping things that we cannot keep. What we can keep is salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. We give up the things that we can't keep to gain what we can have for eternity. Verses 8 and 9 says this. He said, whatever I gain, I count as loss. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Listen again. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. That's the most important thing. I'm not dancing around the issue of what's going on in our society today. There is a Black Lives Matter movement where people have been disenfranchised and they've had enough and they're going out and they don't know how to respond. And so there are riots and then people are getting mad. Again, we're looking through our own lenses. And then there's a group up in Seattle, we don't even know what they're doing. You know, they just kind of took over a thing and now they're asking for help because they took over something and weren't even prepared to take it over. And so now they're sitting there scratching their heads trying to fit. We don't even know what they want. People are angry. People are bitter. People are shouting and stuff. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then everything else falls into place. As a church, as we look out into society, we say, well, those people ain't acting right. The minute we say those people, we've already become somebody else, and we think, like Paul, I was this, 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 and this, and this, and we are so much more superior. No, we're not. None of it matters except knowing Christ. And the problem is many of the people out there don't know Christ, and who is going to tell them? The church has been marginalized for so long that now we just sit back and we take it. Well, they don't want to hear what I have to say anyway. And then if I do say something, it's always wrong. I mean, just ask Margie or Sandra. Every time I say something, it's wrong. Paul says, I count everything as loss. Listen to this. He says this, I count it as rubbish. The word there is skubala, and the word doesn't mean rubbish. I guess the nicest thing that I could say, because I talked about it before, the best thing I could say is sewage, the nastiest sewage. Let's leave it at that. Take your own thing from that. The worst part of the sewage, you know, when you step in it. Okay? Everything is just, that's how bad it is. Everything, what I thought, my religion, my elitism, my nationalism, my ritualism, my exclusivism, my activism, my perfectionism, all of my accomplishments are sewage compared to knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. We got to get that right, guys. Everything that he thought was important was not. So for us, we have to look and say, is it salvation that we're going after, or is it sewage? Is it worship that we're after, or is it waste? Because that's what it comes down to. What are we striving for? What is taking up our time? What is taking up our energy? Is it money, attention? Is it Jesus, or is it rubbish? Folks, we are not fighting against things of this world. Do you realize that? The minute it seems like everything calms down, what happens? The pot gets stirred again, and the same stuff keeps coming up. The same stuff. This is the same stuff racially that was happened 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 8 years ago. This is the same stuff happening around the world where people now, nobody trusts their government anymore. Well, this whole pandemic thing was just the government. Everybody's a conspiracy theorist. We are being pulled into this world when we should be being pulled into a different world. We should be on our knees. We should be praying that God will be God here. Every week we pray for revival. Every day we pray for revival. Every day, not just here. Here's where it starts. It starts with you, a revival in our heart. Get rid of the heart of stone. Get the heart of flesh. Begin to get God's word. And all of a sudden things start to add up. Things start to make sense because the Bible says things are going to get a lot worse before they get any better. I've read the book. You think things are bad now? That ain't nothing. Ain't nothing. That's where we're at now. So what are we striving for? Ramsey Hall, I grew up with him. He was a musician, contemporary Christian musician back in the early 70s. One of his lines was, are you making a living? Or are you living a life? Because the choice is yours and the difference is Christ. Are you just making a living? Are you going through the motions? Are you getting caught up? We live in a time now where technology basically has become the biggest influencer. And what happens is there's so much information, misinformation out there. You don't know what to believe, who said what. And we can manipulate things to look the way we want it to look through our lens. I'm just going to cut off this part of the video and show this, and I'm going to raise up anger here. And now I'm going to show this part and get these people riled up, and then I'm going to watch them fight. What do we believe? I'll tell you what you believe. Open it up and start reading what God says, because it's all here. Well, you know, God doesn't really address race, Paul. Yes, he does. There was a time when Jesus went to the Jacob's well, which is in Samaria, and the Jews would never go through Samaria. They were half-breeds. You know, again, Israel, man, we're it. We're God's chosen. Everybody else is dogs, remember? And Samaritans were Jews at one time, most of them, and they intermarried with other religions and things like that, so they were the half-breeds. In fact, if you wanted to go from down in the bottom up to where Galilee is, the shortest way was to go through Samaria. But no, they would go around Samaria. Jesus says, no, let's go through Samaria. And he met this woman at the well. He says, I want some water. She says, why do you want water from me? I shouldn't be giving you water. No Jew would take water from a Samaritan. He goes, yeah. I'm gonna drink water from your cup. And not only that, I want you to go get your husband. I want to talk to y'all. Well, I don't have a husband. You're right. You had five of them. And the man you're living with now is not even your husband. And her response was, wow, you must be a prophet. What you been doing? Snooping on my Twitter account? You've been liking my post? See, we live in a time where everything is out there. And Jesus just broke that down. And he says, all people matter. And when he said all people matter, he met her where she was at, on her ground, didn't bring in his Jewishness, and said, yeah, I want to drink from your cup. I want to drink from your cup. And the lady went away changed and became one of the first evangelists, spreading the news to the dogs. I got news for us, man. We're the dogs. We're the dogs. Are you making a living or living a life? The difference is Christ. Let's go to verse 10 and 11. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection of the dead. In other words, I am going to do whatever it takes to get the message out there so that people don't die without knowing Jesus Christ, and people don't die knowing that they're not loved. To really know him, not to know about him, not to say, well, you know, I took the confirmation class, so, you know, that got me in. No, it doesn't get you in. It's the heart change. It's what Jesus Christ makes a difference. We are supposed to grow and to be more like Christ, to live in his power, not to struggle on our own, because everybody is struggling on their own. The minute you get down on your hands and knees and pray, and you get up and you say, like, oh man, I feel refreshed because God just given me a message. What happens? You turn on your TV and you're pulled right back into this crazy, mixed up, broken, fallen, sinful world that doesn't know him, doesn't want to know him, and in fact is antagonistic to everything that he stood for. And we wonder why people act like that. We wonder why we even have to sit here and talk about race and discrimination. Why do we have to talk about that? The church should be on the front ground saying that there is no race. From one man came many nations. You want to know if I had to give Leo and Courtney and Alex and Naomi came over the other day, and a lot of churches are, you know, making political statements and things like that. I thought about it, and I prayed about it. Here's our statement, Three Point Bible Church. You can write this down. God so loved this world. God, listen to this. God so loved this world that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And if that's a page you can't get on, then we need to have a come to Jesus meeting. Because that's what Paul is saying. Everything else is crap. That's the word really he used. But stronger than crap, if you know what I mean. That's what he says. That's what everything is. Everything is that except for knowing Jesus Christ. And knowing Jesus Christ, not knowing about him, not knowing the stories in the Bible, but really knowing Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote this. He says, through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. You're going to be attacked. You're going to be belittled. You're going to be challenged. You're going to be all of these things. But you have got to be a light for this world. You have got to be a city on the hill. You have got to be salt to this earth. Because that's who he has called us to be. And I'm going to skip over to verse 4, chapter 4, verses 8, and this isn't up there, but I'm going to end with this. It says, finally, brothers, and he's talking about brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about those things. True, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellence, worthy of praise. Think about those things. I'm not mad. The mic's just loud. Okay, so those of y'all that thought I was yelling, I'm not yelling. I'm just passionate about Jesus Christ. And I'm passionate that we need to know him more. The song we used to sing, I want to know you, I want to feel your touch, I want to hear your voice, I want to know you more. Not know more about you. Heck, I went to seminary. I know all about Jesus. I know all about Jesus, but it's not how much I know about Jesus, it's how much do I know Jesus. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that we would never see ourselves in our accomplishments and our lens would be anything except focused on you. That our lens would be to love you with everything that's in us, our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, everything that's in us. And then, Father, we would love others. Like Jesus says, Father, we would put others above ourselves, that we would become servants, that we would become brothers and sisters, and that we would, Father, we would pray for and pray with and serve and to help and to raise up others. And then, Father, I pray that as we introduce people to the gospel, Father, we would continue to disciple them by becoming mentors, accountability partners, that we would be people that would call people and say, hey, what can I do for you today? How can I pray for you today? Father, I pray that you would give us the opportunities to be the church. Father, I pray that there would be another day of Pentecost where your Holy Spirit would just come throughout 3 Point right here, and that we would go into this world and we would speak the language of the people of this world, and we would introduce people to a God that loves them so much that whosoever believes in Christ, they'll not perish but have everlasting life. Father, I pray it starts here. I pray it starts in our hearts. I pray it starts and spills over into our families, with our children, with our spouses. Father, I pray that you would mend any fractured relationships that are going on with our friends and families and our brothers and our sisters and our parents. And then, Father, I pray that it just goes through our church. I pray, Father, that we would be a church that's open and honest and transparent, that we would be a church that's humble, a church that serves. And then, Father, I pray that we would be a community of people that would fall so much in love with you that we would spend time in our Bibles, to spend time in prayer, and spend time seeking out opportunities to serve one another. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that reminding us that all of the things sometimes that we are trying to gain and trying to reach for, they don't even matter. What matters is faith in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our life is in Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for that. And Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.